My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, que sera, sera. You ever heard that phrase before? Yet sometimes people will use it, and quite literally all it means is, what will be, will be. The idea, and many people in this world have it, is that it doesn't really matter if we get all worked up about it. It's not going to change anything, because this is the way it's intended to be. This is the way it's always meant to be. I can understand having the mindset of, well, don't sweat the small stuff. It happened, so it is. You can't change the past. You might as well move forward with the current present we're in. But also, it can go a step further. Because there's quite a few people in this world who are absolutely convinced that there is some cosmic force, some divine being that has dictated absolutely everything that will ever happen. And you'll never be able to change it. The entirety of your life has been dictated before the moment you were born. Call it fate, call it destiny, call it whatever you want, but you can't change it. And it's always going to happen, so you might as well just give in and give up. You know, the thing is, to at least some degree, they're right. There is a divine being. There is one who knows in his infinite wisdom what the future for you and for the rest of the world holds. He knows the way the world will go. He knows the way the world will end. He also knows who will be his. He's called them by name. He's elected and chosen them. We have this wonderful, beautiful promise from this God. But that same God is not the one who dictates the evil that takes place in the world. He's not the one who has said, I'm going to plan absolutely everything, which means I'm also going to plan all of the bad stuff. That comes about for a very different reason. Not by God's hand. That comes about because sin has entered the world and so thoroughly destroyed everything. And yet, people will still look at it and go, que sera, sera. What it is, it is. Might as well let it be. I can't change my fate. That's scary when you think about it. It's scary because that same divine being, the same one who has said, I know the way the world will end, and the one who says, I will send vengeance and justice on the world, is the one who says, we deserve it. In fact, today we're taking a look at the Old Testament lesson for us. It's Isaiah chapter 35, but to get the whole picture, you need to know what he wrote in Isaiah chapter 34. Because in absolute gruesome detail, God talks about vengeance. He talks about justice. He talks about retribution and His hand coming to destroy entirely and utterly the people of this earth. In fact, God has not hidden that. He's made it boldly clear that we, because of our sin, we, because we live in a sin-corrupted and fallen world, deserve death and hell. And He says, I'm going to give it. And that's how it will be. Well, if that's our fate, if that's our destiny, if that is all there is, and you might as well leave it alone, because what will be, if that's the case, we have absolutely no hope and no reason to be confident of anything. And then we read the next chapter, Isaiah 35. And we realize something amazing. That our God, the same God who said vengeance needs to come on a sin-corrupted world, is the God who says, I have not forgotten you, and I will change your fate. Let's take a look at what He says here again. Isaiah chapter 35, beginning with verse 4. God says, tell those who have a fearful heart, be strong, do not be afraid, look, your God will come with vengeance. With God's own retribution, He will come and save you. Like I said before, Isaiah chapter 34, it doesn't hold back. If you get an opportunity, go ahead and take a look at it. But realize that if we have no hope, if we have no confidence, it's a scary chapter of the Bible. Because He comes out and He says, upon Edom, destruction will reign and come. But we have to understand who He's talking to. At first glance, it looks like he's talking to the entire earth. But here, the way that he starts this section is he says, tell those who have a fearful heart. Who do you think he's referring to? Before he was talking to the earth, before he was talking to those of the earth, he was talking to Edom, the Edomites. He was talking to the unbelieving world. And now he says to those who have a fearful heart, listen to these different words, because I will change your fate. Who is he talking to? He's talking to us. He's talking to believers. He's talking to his people, the promised people. And he is the one who says, listen, you who are mine. All of those things I said that would happen to the world, not to you. All of that destruction that was meant to come, should come on you too, but it won't, because I haven't forgotten about you, and I still know you're my people. And I will change your fate. I will change that which has been dictated, that which sin has brought into the world, because you are my people. So let me give you some comfort. He goes on from there. He talks about where the comfort comes. He says, My hand will come with vengeance. My hand will come with retribution. I think we can all understand and realize that we suffer in life. Right? I know for a fact some of you right now are suffering. Suffering with what is happening in life, what is happening to those around you. It brings about tears. It brings about pain. We live in a world that obviously shows the signs of the fact that we've fallen away from God, because if God is goodness, this cannot be what He had intended. And to make matters worse, it even gets harder for those of us who don't belong here. I mean, we live in a world that hates what's different. As much as we may battle against prejudice and hope to get rid of racism, we live in a sinful world. It's never going to happen entirely. It's never going to happen completely. Because we don't like what's different. We don't like what makes us uncomfortable and what we don't understand. It's sinful human nature. Well, guess what? The world doesn't get you. They'll never get you. Because the world that is really run by the prince of all lies, who has so thoroughly deceived everybody, will never understand Christians. They'll never understand those who trust in God. They can't. We're different. And in fact, God Himself, He says that, doesn't He? He says, we don't belong here. We don't belong in this world. We live in it, but we are not part of it. Jesus told His disciples, the world will hate you because they hated me. Why should you expect any different? If you follow me, you are going to suffer more than most. Of course we are. Satan doesn't need to work hard on those he's already deceived. He needs to work hard on those he hasn't. And so he'll throw problems and complications and tears and suffering in the hopes that we will take it and blame God for it. And now he goes, ha, I've won, because you've lost your confidence in the one who can save you. This is what he wants. And so God says, just wait. Vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. I will bring retribution. But is that really what gives us confidence and hope? The fact that God one day, He'll make sure that all of those bad people get what they're due. If that's what we're looking forward to, well then we're in a really bad position, because we're the ones who also deserve what's coming to us. We've rebelled against our God just as much as everyone else. We've sinned right along with Him. It's not the retribution and the vengeance that brings comfort. It's what he says after. He says, I will come to save. This is God's promise. It's always been God's promise. Since the moment Adam and Eve fell into sin, this has been God's promise. And over again, time and time again, throughout the Old Testament, until we come to the life of Jesus, he says, I will send one to save you. And then we see him. Jesus himself, he comes into the world and he says, and I am the one who has come to save you. I have come to save you from everything. I have come to change your fate. Yes, you deserved hell. Yes, you deserve death because of your sin. You won't get it. I will. I'll suffer. I'll die. I'll sacrifice my life for you. I will change absolutely everything. That's what your God promises, because He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten what you go through. He hasn't forgotten the difficulties that this life brings, which is why He says, I've got this under control. I've never forgotten. I never will forget. And this fate that you seem to be powerless to control, this life that you are now living that seems something that you can't do anything about, and as we feel weak and helpless, He says, you have confidence. You have every reason to be confident because I can do it. And I will change your fate. You have to understand, God can do the impossible, can't He? He's done the impossible. He's proved it. In fact, Isaiah comes out and he says that. We get the exact opposite of what we deserve. This is what he says. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unplugged, the crippled will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. Waters will flow in the wilderness, and streams in the wasteland. The burning sand will become a pool, and in the thirsty ground there will be springs of water. Look at what your God can do, the exact opposite of our problem. The blind, they'll see. The deaf, they'll hear. The mute will sing the praises of their God. The lame will leap for joy. And then in the wilderness, in the desolate places where you will die because of thirst and heat, he says, not only will I give you water, I will make streams flow. I will make pools appear. No doubt for the people is that Isaiah originally talked to, they remember how they wandered in the wilderness. Their ancestors did for 40 years. Excuse me, for 40 days. No, 40 years. That puts a lot of confidence in your pastor now, doesn't it? Sorry, everybody. As they wandered in the wilderness, Moses comes up to that rock with his staff and he brings water flowing forth as they thirsted and we're dying. And this is the confidence that God says, you can have this too. You can have the same confidence because your God can change what should be the worst thing in the world and make the best thing what you get. We have a problem. Every one of us has a problem. It's the problem the unbelieving world has too. God says the wages of sin is death. Take a moment. It's a hard question. And answer it truthfully. Are you a sinner? You ever done anything wrong? The answer is yes. If you've ever felt guilty for something? The answer is yes. If you've ever known what God's Word has said and you've done the opposite? The answer is yes. And here's the hardest thing. You ever done anything that offended somebody else? The answer is yes. Even if no offense was intended. That's a result of sin in this world. All of it piles up. What do we deserve because of that? The wages of sin is death. Our problem has always been sin in this world. And yet, what does God do? He changes the worst to the best. Just as the deaf can hear, He changes death into life. And it happens through Jesus. Jesus comes into the world. And He says, I will take your sins upon myself and I will take them to the cross. The death you deserve, I will endure. The life that I have earned, I will give to you. And it will be changed. Your fate will be changed. Because now, through Jesus, even though we deserve to go to hell, we won't. Because He's come to save. He can change everything. And He will, because He's never forgotten you. What does that mean in our life, though? What kind of hope and confidence do we get in that? Because we still live in a life we suffer. We still live in a life where things are difficult and times are hard. Well, that's where our confidence truly comes from. Because God says, as bad as it may be now, as much as you may struggle by living in a sinful world, as much as you may suffer because of the sin in this world, I've taken care of it because I have prepared that place for you where sin does not exist, where the tears disappear and the illness and disease is gone, where those who are blind will see and those who are deaf will hear and those who are lame will leap. For those who are dying, they will have life eternally. Because I can change everything, and I have. Really, that's what it is. Not God will change your fate. God has changed your fate through Christ. It's a done deal. This is why we as Christians can have quiet confidence and know that even if we suffer here on this life, it's only temporary because we have something to look forward to, a place of pure joy away from all the problems. And God has said it is yours through Christ. The unbelieving world, they still may believe that we have some kind of a fate, some kind of a destiny, that, well, what it is, it always will be. We might as well not worry about it. And then our God says, but to those with fearful hearts, you, to my people who look at the results of sin and they tremble because they know what it should bring about, I have come to save. And I have. Jesus has done it. He's chosen you. And you are His. And of all things, that won't be changed. Never. Because your God has said it won't. He said you are His, and you are forgiven, and your heavenly home awaits. So we can go from today and every day leading forward and live our lives with confidence and hope and joy. Because your God has not forgotten you. He changed your fate. You are His. Amen.